What is the difference between being punk and being a punk?
We are here to talk some punk rock, some music comics.
Punk culture, DIY shit, anything we want to talk about.
That's what fascinates me. Give me everything. Absolutely everything.
I find that music and comics have always been intertwined.
Muxbound.
Chicks dig it. Don't worry.
Hey, welcome to Muxbout.
Hey, welcome back, everybody.
Tonight we got Wilkie. Were you going to introduce him? I'm sorry.
I was, but you were really big, so that's
fine. John's turn.
If we didn't set up the rules, you can fucking swear if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you want.
Oh, good. Thank fucking God.
whoa, we don't use the Lord's name in vain. No, just kidding.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. We have standards, man. How's it going, guys?
It's going.
Good.
So anyway, we're here to discuss Scott's wonderful comic, Cupid, which, you know, I've had my hands in and he's had his hands in. I work for Bad Bug as well as Scott. So, Scott, if you want to give us the elevator pitch for Cupid, which is on Kickstarter right now.
Yeah, so it's in the same universe as my other graphic novel, Periwinkle. So it takes place roughly around the time Santa's been murdered by Krampus. Love is at an all-time low. Due to that, you know, it's put our boy Cupid in a bit of a bind financially. He doesn't really have much of a job, so he just kind of turns to some less than scrupulous activities to make ends meet. That gets him into some trouble with a loan shark, and he owes a large sum of money to. So he partners up with his buddies, the Boogeyman and the Tooth Fairy, and they pull off a heisty little heist to snag that money. And that's kind of where we catch them all in this. And Cupid just got out of a breakup, so he's in a really kind of dark spot already. But yeah, it's just, we're finding him at an all-time low, and you know, debauchery and hilarity ensue.
So how much setup was there? Like, how many issues? Is it just one issue of Periwinkle, or?
Periwinkle's a contained 82 page story. And then Cupid's going to be like a series of one shots. I got this one. It's a contained story, 36 pages. And I'm just going to kind of keep that trend going with the characters in the holiday verse or Swilky verse or whatever people want to end up calling it. So next up is actually Jack Frost. And then I got, you know, the whole kit and caboodle to come follow on that. So
I'm super excited to see who else you got coming up. Every script I get turned in, I'm always like, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. So I couldn't be happier doing what I do.
Yeah. Love it.
Hey, while you're already here, why don't you go ahead and like and subscribe, and if there's a bell on your screen, click that bitch, so we can keep doing this shit.
I think I probably talk to John some days more than I talk to my own wife, because we got multiple books we're working on, and I mean, we're doing Bobby Joe right now, we got Xenogeist, we're just, there's always something in the pipe he has to unfortunately edit from me, so.
And then it always seems like there can be a long stretch of time where I don't talk to you, and then all of a sudden it's like, crap, how did three scripts suddenly come in at once, and all like the artwork project. And everything.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And like, John, read this. Is it okay? Yeah. Are the beats okay? And
Bad Bug has about 53 different group chats, so we deal with that. But it's always interesting keeping track of everything. So
yeah,
it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So
appreciate that, man. Same, likewise.
For other projects, what do you have in the pipeline here? I know we've Cupid's running through. When is it going to be off of Kickstarter?
What are we at? March 14th, I think, or something along that those lines.
Really,
I got, yeah, I got about 16 more days left on that one.
Okay.
After that, I mean, like I said, we got, you know, we're finishing up letters on Bobby Joe, so we'll get that out to backers. Xenogeist, we're going to start doing letters on, so I'm pumping out the script on those. I got Dead and Moon 4 done, so that's going to go to the artist. Bobby Joe 4 is done. Waiting on you, John. Yeah, I'm kidding. But we got that one. Geez, I don't even know. Hypergeist 4, I think it's 4, is on. Is art's being done by Carrie. She's killing it. AZ Bolt's going to jump into colors here shortly. I think that's every. I don't know. It's just. And then I got, I mean, I got a Bad Bug too. I mean, I got Red Scare 3 with John. or not John, sorry, Lee Giles, over at About Time Comics. And then I got some stuff with Inferno Publishing that I'm doing. So like Perils of Passion, and then another secret project that's coming out. So,
so you don't really like you don't like to keep very busy then, huh?
No. I don't like my seeing my wife and daughter, so I'm just like, I'm gonna be in my office. No, no, it's a, yeah, it's a, I don't know what I would do now at this point. I'm like, I'm always working on something, so I'm just thankful that people are letting me write scripts for them, and I hope hope to keep doing it because I love it.
We're happy that the inside of your head is fun and messy as it is, because it's yeah. some really good entertainment. So.
Right. It finally pays off to be all twisted as fuck, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've said it that way a million times on this show, that if I didn't have some kind of creative outlet, like
yeah,
all those weird thoughts in your head, like it got to go somewhere. So it might as well go into some kind of actual, like, you know, a fun narrative like we've got going here with Cupid. Do you want to tell us, how did you hook up with the artist originally?
Arturo, yeah. It's a crazy story. I mean, because, again, we were shopping around for Periwinkle, and I had found an artist. And, again, it's like it's an 82-page book. So, you know, with that artist, I'm like, are you in it? Like, are you good? And, you know, he was like, yeah, definitely. So we got 5 pages in, and he bailed. I think it was just too big of a project. So I was pretty down and out. Turned to Mike, and Mike's like, have you checked out this Arturo Mesa guy on Instagram? And he sent me over, you know, a link, and I was like, oof, that's it. And then I sent it to Arturo, and Arturo was just head over heels for the story. Started fleshing out like character concept art with it, you know, a day or two of me sending it over to him. And yeah, it's been a love affair since then. I mean, he's just, we could kind of like get each other. It's like we're mind melding, you know, in Pacific Rim. Like it's like we just get it. And, you know, and it's funny too, because like it's a hard to communicate with him because he's from Spain and he doesn't speak that great of English. And he just told me that he's learned all of his English from Tarantino films. Oh my God. So he doesn't drop enough F-bombs for that. But but yeah, he just gets it, and he fleshes out the characters. And at this point, I don't even really direct him so far as like character design. I'm just like, here's kind of what I imagine them to look like. You know, Jack Frost is such and such a height, Cupid's such and such a height, and then I just kind of let him run with it.
And so. That's the wonderful thing about his art too, is just he doesn't waste any piece of a panel. There's so many little side gags and stuff, and it's just like that bedroom scene with Cupid with all the toys in the background and everything. It's just so it's perfect. Like, and that's kind of like, I don't know, I'm gonna slaughter this guy's name, but Rob Guillory from Chew, like his like it's the same kind of thing with him.
Yeah,
every piece of a panel has a gag somewhere if you're paying attention, and it's just, yeah, so much respect to Arturo. It's amazing. So
yeah, I don't deserve him. Yeah, it's like I always equate it to like how people maybe felt like running into Steven Spielberg in like film school, because I mean the fact that I got this guy kind of like right out the gates, he's only really done like one series before Periwinkle. So yeah, which is insane, and he does everything. He does the line, ink, colors. He's just his use of color, yeah, and his color work is just, and his style is so cinematic. He doesn't do any like straight on angles. He's always got these like cool like Zack Snyder shots. It's just
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I remember I was getting some of Periwinkle piecemeal as you were putting it together. And I was just like, but where's that last bit? I need to see that last bit. Come on. Right. You're killing me here. It was so gorgeous seeing the whole thing coming together. So.
Yeah. And he just loves pop culture. So like you just catch all these little references, and especially in like Periwinkle with the toys. If you look through like the workshop, there's all these little shout outs to like all his favorite series. And he's big into like 90s, you know, Teenage Mutant Turtles and all that stuff. So It's just really cool seeing all that, you know.
And you were telling, I remember in the group chat, you were saying something about did you set this up or did he, where there was one of Perry's toys that he was working on in his youth, and at the end it shows up on his father figure's desk there. Was that set up by you or was that set up by him?
We had talked about, because we wanted like a reference, and then like he went with that route because I wanted there to be kind of those visual conveyances of Alabaster's love for Periwinkle and how he viewed him as a son. So again, like I just kind of give him that kind of rough guidance, and then he did that, and you know, I spotted that when I was initially, because I'm like, waiting for it. I'm like, is he going to put those hints in? And then it was so subtle because I was probably going to go more on the nose with it. But again, his was just such a subtle touch. So some people are catching it like on their, you know, second reads and stuff. So, and that's kind of like my, I love that because that's what I love. I love catching things on, you know, the fifth viewing of a movie. I'm like, oh my God, I never saw that. So
yeah, it's always nice when you're going back and there's something else, something new for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Or if you like catch another work by like director or writer or something like that, and you watch more works by them, and you go back and revisit, and it's like, well, shit, there were five references to this other movie I totally missed. So
I love that.
I love that. Yeah, you guys were able to set up things like that together. So yeah,
definitely. Kudos.
It really helps. It's kind of cool when like something has a shared universe and you know it that way. And it's not like direct at all. So yeah, I totally dig that.
Yeah. I realize I'm like, you know, probably 15 years behind the curve on this like shared universe thing, but, and it really was never gonna be intentional. Like this was never what my original design was. I wrote Periwinkle. I was actually going to jump into some more Periwinkle lore and do like, you know, prequels and such. And, but then on a podcast during Periwinkle promo, somebody had asked, you know, are we going to get to see what happened to the outside world with the death of Santa? And I didn't really have room in that story. I wanted it to be character driven and solely focused on Periwinkle's kind of journey. And so then I started to think, I'm like, you know, what does it look like out there now? And then I thought it would be really cool to explore that from the lens of another mythical creature, another mythical being. And then the fact that, you know, there's lack of love now, people are just dicks even more so to each other. I'm like, kind of be cool to see how Cupid's dealing with all this. And then it's kind of birthed that. And as I'm writing Cupid, I was considering Cupid 2. And as I'm struggling with that, I'm like, you know what? It'd be really cool to see Jack Frost as an assassin. So then I'm like, so then I jumped into Jack Frost. So it's all just kind of like domino affecting its way down. So who only knows what's next?
So this is the first page of the story, right?
Yeah,
I really like the setup. Like, it tells you everything you kind of need to know, like right off the bat, in like one sentence. Like, to you don't have to have read Periwinkle, I think, to jump in. I think that tells me enough. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, this is just promo stuff, but it's essentially it might kind of like borrowed off of what because it's got a lot of voiceover, very noir, so it's narrated by Cupid, but it's essentially he's just kind of talking about how there's a lack of love and.
So it's all setting it up.
Bad for business. Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Tiener does a really good job with all our Kickstarters of taking that page art and really just condensing the story into a few pages so that you can get a quick peek at what's going on. And he does a fantastic job with that.
Yeah, that killed it. I liked that.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say too many nice things about Mike though, because he'll get a fucking big head.
It's already big. It's already big enough, dude.
But no, we love you, Mike.
We do, and I feel bad because I mean he is so good at it, and he's got so many, you know, irons in the fire and so many things to do. So like, I told him next campaigns like I'll build myself, but like kind of now that I know kind of the how to do it, I haven't run a campaign on my account since. You know, my other series, Legend of Everett Forge. So that's been probably 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm very much rusty at this. So this was a good experience to get back into the groove. And there's some other titles outside of the Periwinkle verse, whatever, that, you know, I want to start to explore too. So yeah, it's good to get back into it, and I'll start doing my own kind of designs. But this thing he came up with, you know, it's all cookie cutter, so we can just reuse that for each campaign down the way. And I think he started that with Bobby Joe, and that's just
a good setup.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are copying it now too, so he's a trendsetter on top of it.
Yeah,
go with what works for sure.
All right.
So this is a property that you created on your own. How does that differ from the other stuff that you do? Like, is this kind of your style in general, or is it vastly different than what you do for other people generally?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, yeah, this one's definitely got more of my voice. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Mike, that's the funny thing, because like Mike and I think we think a lot alike. Uh-huh. And Yeah, right. I'm a little more stable, but I think we both kind of grew up on the same movies. We both enjoy the same type of entertainment, so we both kind of think of things, and you know, like we were just like shooting off ideas for Undercity Tales 2 just the other day, and we're bouncing off ideas. And now, you know, I'm moving with one of the story ideas we got. So I mean, it's kind of nice to work with him in that. It's nice to, I shouldn't say kind of nice, that's all dick, but it's nice to work with Mike, because like he and I do, we meld well together, and I think we make really good stories together, and he doesn't try to micromanage me. Bobby Joe, you know, I pretty much, that's, you know, I took that one, and that was, she's my baby now. But like Dead End Moon, him and Alice came up with that world, and just kind of let me start to play in that playground, and then, you know, it became more and more kind of my direction and stuff. So I'm very fortunate in that regard, that they don't like have these strict outlines and guides, and you have to follow this, that, and the third. And so yeah, I mean, long story short, yeah, I mean, they all have my voice at the end of the day. So yeah. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping it's good.
That's good. It's, I mean, like as an artist, like having a style is important. So I would think as a writer, there's definitely something to that. I don't know if people really think about styles too much when it comes to writers, but
I don't think so.
I think it's there. Nobody talks about it so much.
Totally agree.
Unless it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I could, like, because, you know, we work with the same kind of same team of writers. So we've got like Alan, and, you know, I know Chris's work. I know Alan. We shared art, like, or story one of the other days, and I'm like, Alan wrote this, didn't he? You just, after a certain while, and it's maybe just because you know each other so well, but you can start to hear their voices, like, through the words, you know?
Yeah, and the type of dialogue people use and everything tends to be similar, but different enough. It's just, it's interesting seeing people that you, it's kind of like going to see a Quentin Tarantino or Kevin Smith movie. It's like,
you
know, there's going to be a lot of fun dialogue along with it blowing up along the way. And it's like, but it's always interesting to get those certain styles in there, and it's fun.
Yeah. So, totally agree.
Yeah. We have a great crew, and I feel like I'm totally being, you know, nepotistic. Is that a word, nepotistic? I don't even know.
It is now. I know it should be though. Yeah.
But I have a lot of fun with you guys. So.
Same, man. Yeah, it's a great, it's like a family over there. I always tell Mike, I mean, it's like just a brotherhood. It's, and I mean, we got the ladies, so sisterhood, familyhood, however you want to look at
exactly.
it.
But yeah, we just lift each other up, whoever you are. Yeah,
that's because, what it's about, you know? Yeah, I mean, we're in this, indie's got to stick together. I mean, it's, we already got enough competition from the big guys. We don't need to be like cutting each other's throats. And so I love that Bad Bug's kind of like a beacon for, you know, maybe misunderstood stories or stories that might not make it somewhere else. And so, yeah, I love it.
But we believe in them, and we believe in, everyone totally. We're working with. And that's the kind of the, what this podcast is all about too. We like,
I love that.
We also deal with punk rock and music and stuff like that too. But it's the same kind of thing. Take an indie scene and try to promote the little guy, because not that you're a little guy, you're huge. You have a Wiltyverse, for Christ's sake. But you know what I mean. It's like
I know. Yeah.
Trying to lift up the indies, and it's like, you know, it's, that's the reason I'm never gonna have a dollar to my name probably, but fun doing it, you know. So
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I mean, that's because, you know, I try to like find, you know, groups like you guys, you know, like, because I want to help support people who are supporting the indies. And then you find, like, you know, these people who like try to highlight indies, and it's like Image Comics. It's like, okay, that's not quite, I get it, but, you know, we're talking more like real, and I don't want to like gatekeep either, but
there's
a certain class, you know.
There's just a misconception though, because if you get somebody that like is a fan of more of like MCU versus Marvel Comics, they're going to have a different conception of what the comic industry is like. So it's not that they're like, you know, they probably don't mean anything by it, saying Image, Dark Horse.
No. Yeah, exactly. But it's totally.
To people like us, it's like, yeah, but they've been around for years, and
I know
they're going to outsell us by a couple bajillion.
I think at this point, Image Comics might be bigger than DC, right?
Like, I was about that. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, I don't know, I'd rather be with them, and not saying I want to leave Bad Bug or anything, but like, if you're gonna like look at it in that capacity, and I mean, you have a lot more freedom too. I mean, you don't have to tell this story that's been going on for like 30 years and figure out a new way to like look at it, you know. So Yeah. But I mean, again, I love that you guys are supporting indies, and I always tell the group that I want to make sure that Bad Bug continues to follow that trajectory and that kind of, you know, be that pillar, because there's so many, and I won't call anybody out, but there's a lot of groups that aren't that way. And it's more just like, you know, they think it's like there's only room for a few of us, but there's room for all of us. They just got to.
Lift each other up as much as we can. And it's totally. You know, granted, it might be the same kind of thing as, you know, I went to a ska show a couple weeks ago and there were five bands playing, you know, ska bands. They've got 5-10 people in each band. I'm like, all right, this place looks packed, but how many of these people are just bands? But at the same time, it's like, if you all stay and all support each other, you know, your fellow comic creators, your fellow bands, and it's like, you don't want to just have each other as an audience, obviously, but you can help each other and you can help each other grow as far as like, hey, do you ever think about trying this kind of story instead? You're really good at the world building, but why don't you try a rom-com? You know, it's like, it's fun to take people out of their wheelhouse and try to help each other grow. It's fun.
Hey, while you're already here, why don't you go ahead and like and subscribe? And if there's a bell on your screen, click that bitch so we can keep doing this shit.
I've never seen anybody as competition. It's weird when people get like that.
I know.
Indies. Yeah. Like, I never, there could be 100,000 Kickstarters for comics going on at the same time as mine. And we're not competing. Like, we're all very different. Like, we have different audiences. Like, I feel like it's very lazy to think of it as competition.
Yeah. And I just hate that kind of bit, like that. It poisons the well, it makes it toxic. And then it's so dumb. And that's why, again, like with Bad Book too, like we're doing this new interview show and on the Substack. So, you know, I'm reaching out beyond Bad Book creators. So I'm going to, you know, I got Garrett Gunn's interview coming up. You know, I've spoken to Lori Foster, you know, Kat and Phil from Bombshell and Atomica, all these groups. And it's like, you know, we can lift each other up, like you've said, John. It's like, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's just more of a signal boost. You know, as they rise, they can lift you up at the same time. And it's there's no disadvantage to like helping each other out, even if you're not in the same publishing house. No. You know what I mean? It's just silly to me. And I hate that. It feels toxic high school crap. And we're just trying to tell stories and have fun at the end of the day.
Yep. So. Right. Exactly. Dude, this stupid box is cool.
Isn't that cool? Mike talked to me. I said no up until like the night before the launch. I was just like, because Periwinkle, I won't get into the history on that Kickstarter, but there were a lot of things that like we promised or we had and like they didn't work out for whatever reason. So we had to like make it up to the backers in certain ways and give them extra of something else. And I told Mike, I'm like, with Cupid, I just want bare bones. I'm like, we'll have variants and some stickers. Like, I just don't want, you know, no hardcovers, no book plates, no, none of that nonsense. And then he's like showing me like the Horus box. And I'm like, that's cool. And he's like showing me the Bombshell Atomica and the Death Note. And I'm like, oh, these are really cool. And then he mocked that up literally the night before. I'm like, God damn it. All right. Like, I'll deal with the box. And of course, like most of the orders are all like overseas. So I'm gonna like lose my freaking shirt and shipping it. But it's still freaking pretty and cool. And I gotta like shout out to my Finnish and Norway fans. They've followed me through this, through everything. So I love them.
I love that. I have a guy in like Denmark that always orders my stuff.
All right, isn't that cool? I love that our books are like traveling across seas and that's crazy.
And it's so expensive that I always send him a bunch of extra shit. Like I just grab like whatever around or whatever else.
Might as well make it worth your while. Yeah. There you go.
I love that. I mean, if they're gonna pay that kind of amount in shipping, what else do you want, guy? I love it.
That was like Eric. We just we had just gotten a comic called Geezer, by Philip Bond and oh my god, I'm gonna forget the other guy's name, but it doesn't matter. It's coming from the UK is the point, and I believe it was printed in the UK. Either way,
actually the way they do it is they print an American version and a UK version.
Okay, so that was easier.
There's actually a difference in the art between the two.
Yeah.
But they had sent either way. I guess it's shipped domestically, and I'm lying through my teeth.
Yeah, you're being a liar.
But you know, they were worried because it, you know, the art took a little longer, but he, it's the same kind of thing where Phil Ahn just like, he just puts every piece of a panel has like a flyer from some obscure band or buttons and things and stuff.
That's cool.
So, but they were all apologetic that it took so long, but I'd rather it took so long and looked like that. And they sent a shit ton of extra stuff, and it was
awesome.
Just great. Yeah. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, there was buttons and patches, and I did I ordered one with a t-shirt.
That's awesome. Me too.
And the comic is in like, it's like a 7x7 comic. So it's like 7-inch record format, and it's and it comes in like a little custom bag, like record bag. Like in
They made a fake record store and made a fake record store bag for
specifically to
put the comic. Joke. Dude, yeah, it was. I love that.
So sweet. Yeah,
I love that.
I totally
highly recommend.
That's cool. What's it called?
Yeezer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, writer was in a band called Cud, and they're just going on a reunion tour this year. They were in the Brit pop scene back in the day. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too, because, like, again, with Periwinkle, it was a real cluster. It took a long time, and to John's point, Arturo pumps so much into every panel. Like, that 82-pager took, like, a year and a half to do, and we were not anticipating that, and so I had a lot of apologies, and, you know, I sent extra stickers that I had made up, and you just try, and I think that's the best we really can do. I mean,
And it was, like, that was your learning curve book. That was, and that was a bad bug learning curve book is, like,
it really was.
Okay, we're going to wait until we've got this amount of art completed. We're going to wait. So it's, you know, everything is a bump. But it's a learning curve bump that gets you like one step further into, you know, being very competent at what we do. So, like,
and we've never made that mistake again. Like, I mean, Mike stays tried and true, like, to, you know, with the NSFW books, like, we got to have like at least 75% of that book done before we go to Kickstarter. So, and I learned it with Cupid. I made sure the art's done. Dave's lettering it right now, so we timed it out. The letters should be done by the end of the campaign, and so it's just really about, you know, the time it takes to print it, and then people have their books. So
it's awesome.
Yeah, I got to see some of the lettered pages recently, and this book is gorgeous, people. When you get this thing in your hands, it's gonna be just outstanding. So
appreciate that, man.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd love to have you, Scott.
No, this was awesome. Yeah. It was good talking with you.
Yeah. We'll have to get you back next time around.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I got a few projects coming up we can maybe talk about.
Couple? Just a couple?
Just a couple, yeah.
Sounded like you were really laying low. But...
yeah. It's my off year. I'm not going to,
And we're doing, like, our third has been doing other things for a while. He's in school, so we wish him very well. But we do well with a third guest or third host to kind of help keep move things along sometimes. So if you ever want to come and just hang out and talk comics or shoot shit about music or something.
Let's do it. Yeah, you know where to find me. So let me know. Yeah. I'm down.
Sounds good, buddy.
Awesome. Right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, cool. Thanks so much.
Hey, while you're already here, why don't you go ahead and like and subscribe? And if there's a bell on your screen, click that bitch so we can keep doing this shit.
Hey, you made it through an entire episode. Good for you. If you're looking for more, give the rest of the channel a look. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll catch you fuckers next time. Later. Muck Spout.